Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Congressman Jimmy Petronas, who this week filed a bill that would make it legal for ordinary citizens to purchase fully automatic machine guns. I know. In the post-Columbine, post-Sandy Hook, post-Parkland world, you would think even the bloodthirsty gun zealots at that dreaded violence emporium people euphemistically refer to as the NRA would have some shred of common sense about reasonable gun restrictions. Well, obviously they don't. But we know that no law-abiding citizen should be trusted with full-blown weapons of war. Now, I know we've always been using the label weapons of war for the current so-called sporting rifles, or what we like to call assault weapons, even though we knew that was a lie, since soldiers certainly don't go into war with semi-automatic rifles. And since we've already ratcheted up the rhetoric to 11 about currently legal semi-automatic weapons like AR-15s and AK-47s being weapons of war, you might think it would make us look like hypocrites to now complain about actual weapons of war being made available for sale. But as you know, logical consistency has never been our thing, especially when it comes to guns, about which we proudly know nearly nothing. Well, we know enough to know that every so often in a conversation about guns, you have to use some obscure technical term like pistol grip or double-barreled magazines to give a sense that you really know what you're talking about. It's also important to never mention that the real purpose of the Second Amendment is to defend against foreign invasion or domestic tyranny, and to instead distract people with rhetorical questions like, why do you need a machine gun to hunt pheasant? Or nobody needs pistol-driven barrel shrouds for home defense. See how smart I sound when I say that? So whether we're protesting against sawed-off bump stocks, or the fundamental danger of pinching your fingers on a Picatinny rail, or the way that only gangbangers use 12-gauge carbines, it's important to demonstrate, pretend expertise, and hope the low-information voters don't know any better. So just as we've always been against extended magnifying glasses and all assault weapons, even ones in .38 caliber, we hereby cancel Congressman Jimmy Petronas for the next level lunacy of trying to legalize machine guns, even though we aren't really entirely sure what they are. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, a single unidentified six-year-old in Great Britain for the highest of offenses against diversity, equity, and inclusion in the fourth degree. What did this little boy do? Well, his Beaver Scout troop, the British equivalent of Cub Scouts, visited the Central Islamic Center in Stirling, Scotland as part of their work on earning their Faith Activity Badge. While at the Islamic worship site, it was time for the call to prayer, or Adhan, and as they have been shown to do, the 11 children all knelt down and prostrated themselves in the direction of Mecca, just like obedient Muslims do. So far, so good. But this one little boy, the 12th man, so to speak, for reasons that seem utterly inexplicable to us, decided to engage in the blasphemous, sacrilegious, offensive, and incredibly rude and disrespectful behavior of remaining standing, while everyone else bowed in submission to Allah. He didn't even wear a kufi, which all the others had done, and although it's hard to tell for sure from the brief video, he might even have kept his shoes on. Now, it's true that we don't know much about this incident, except that right-wingers and Christian supremacists have seized upon it as an example of childhood righteousness. They love it because they're anti-Islamic xenophobes who think everyone from the Middle East is a terrorist. But we can assume the boy is some sort of Christian who didn't want to pray like a Muslim to Allah, the god of another religion, but that's precisely the problem. One of the key ideas of our order, the First 15th Perfect Faith Community of Doctrinal Ambiguity and Inclusive Holiness, Atlanta Synod, Reformed, twice, is that all religions are basically the same, except for biblical Christianity, which is completely wrong, and everyone should be required to show all other religious practitioners respect and honor, except for biblical Christians, who deserve no consideration and should probably be thrown in jail. Now, yes, it's true that we tend to say that all religions are equal, but what we really mean is that you can believe whatever you want, unless it's biblical Christianity. And what this boy has done is make it seem like being a Christian who only worships the God of the Bible is a normal thing, and that disrespecting another religion like Islam is okay, when what he should have done was go along to get along and bow down like everyone else. Now, obviously, we would never be comfortable with this same group of young Beaver Scouts going to a Baptist service or a Catholic service or a Pentecostal service, for goodness sakes, and certainly not asking them to actively participate in any of those rituals or sacraments. But when it comes to other religions like Islam, Buddhism, Shintoism, Hinduism, or even liberal Christianity, it's inclusion for everyone. Now, yes, we have historically pretended that we believe in the right of the individual to dissent from the crowd, to stand up or kneel and do whatever he thinks is right. But of course, it's different when it comes to a 6-year-old Christian literally standing up for what he believes. Who do you think you are? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There's no golden idol in front of you, boy. After all, it's not a Buddhist temple you're being asked to prostrate yourself before, so shame on you, you little Scottish troublemaker, for daring to take religious practices so seriously that you won't do them just because everyone else is. We cast thee out of the communion of absolute love, tolerance, and inclusion, where there clearly is no place for people like you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our acacia wood gavel of justice this week goes to the Belgian courts, who have now convicted Dries van Langenhove twice for violations of the nation's anti-racism law. In a 2024 lecture at Catholic University Leuven, van Langenhove gave evidence and data to show that mass migration into Belgium has been linked with a dramatic spike in crime and deterioration of the quality of life in the nation. Naturally, the authorities charged him with incitement to hatred. And to their great credit, the judges completely ignored the fact that everything van Langenhove said was, in fact, a fact. But that's where we see the true brilliance of the anti-racism law, in that it prohibits anyone from saying anything that would create a hostile atmosphere towards immigrants, even if the things being said are true. As one judge wrote, quote, "Even if all of the statements made by van Langenhove are based on scientific evidence and statistics, it makes no difference to the criminal intent. Van Langenhove is not charged with spreading false information. He is charged with presenting facts in a way that incites hatred against persons on the grounds of one or more of the protected criteria in the anti-racism law." End quote. This is so beautiful. The court is saying that it literally doesn't matter whether he's saying true things. The only thing that does matter is that he's saying mean things. If it is rude enough, hateful enough, offensive enough, othering enough, in other words, intolerant enough, then he goes to jail. Even though van Langenhove showed decisively that housing shortages, lowering education standards, and rising crime are all statistically tied to large-scale immigration, you cannot say that in Belgium. If only America could be this advanced. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be if we didn't have to bother debating our adversaries about the truth of our claims, but could simply censor or imprison them for being meanies? Unfortunately, in this country, under the stupid First Amendment, truth is an absolute defense against defamation claims. But what if it weren't? What if you only had to prove someone hurt someone else's reputation or character or feelings or said something politically unpleasant? Just think of how many people we could round up then. And the ones who didn't get caught up in the initial purge would very quickly learn to keep their dissenting, fact-based, offensive views to themselves. Win-win! So yes, Belgium, well done. You are literally leading the way in advancing us toward the age of Orwell, where war is peace and freedom is slavery and ignorance is strength because the rules don't matter and the points are made up. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.